Galaxy Radio, where we discuss the unidentified, the unexplainable, paranormal, conspiracies, and much more. Starring your host and co-host, Jenny Nicasio, Sean Kelly, and Jason Sledgehammer Ryan Petro. Brought to you by UPRN Network. Now for your host, Jenny Nicasio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on UPRN Radio 105.3. We're here on Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, and enjoy the show. Jason, how are you doing?
Good evening. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy for Torture Tuesday. I'm all right. How you doing, Sean?
I'm hanging in there, brother. Just happy as a jaybird. Happy as a jaybird.
You look like it.
I am.
I can see that smile just shining away.
Damn straight. You also see the damn bald head and, you know, stuff
yeah,
like
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's setting your camera out of focus.
Yeah, I know. My one that I bought, the good one, for some reason doesn't work. So I'm stuck using my laptop. And
did you read the directions?
Sure did. Said plug it in. It's a plug it in. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight?
Good, pretty good. I was riding my jet skis all over Pittsburgh today, up and down the rivers for a couple hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a nice day to do some jet skiing, huh?
Yeah, it was a little cool when I started, but then I got all sunburned.
Yeah, I think it was like 54 this morning when I woke up. Yeah. I was like, oh, my.
But that, you know, that's the thing about the Western PA is, you know, I just opened all the windows. As soon as the sun goes down, you open all the windows, it's under 70 degrees, it's beautiful at night.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then the next day it snows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got nice summers here. It's the winter that's a little bit of a problem. But if you give it about 10 years, we'll be like Virginia with supposed global warming, which is another farce.
You know, something I've noticed, I remember being a kid and there always being snow starting in like October, yes. November, December, always, you know, snow for Christmas. And, you know, we're going back 20, 30 years or whatever. Now it's like, we're lucky if we get snow.
Yeah. I saw it. It's been in October a couple of times where growing up in New York, I had never seen snow that early, you know, but here there's been snow on the ground a couple of times for Halloween.
Well, that one year, I think my son was like about 6 years old. We took him out trick-or-treating, there was at least an inch of snow on the ground. Yeah, that was a cold one. And it wasn't the pretty snow with the nice little snowflakes. It was that wet, rainy one.
You know what? I think I know exactly when you were talking about, because I remember being a kid and one Halloween, there was just snowing, and it was just that wet, you know, nasty snow that just makes everybody miserable.
Yeah, everyone had, all the kids had their coats on top of their costumes. Well, let's start the show here. Our guests tonight are a couple ladies from the Steel City Ghost Hunters. Introduce yourselves. Kim?
Hi, I'm Kim.
Hi, Kim.
I'm one of the investigators. Well, we all are. We don't really have a leader anymore.
Well, welcome to the show, Kim. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And Heather?
Hi, guys. I'm Heather, part of Steel City Ghost Hunters. We're missing two. One isn't feeling too well tonight, and the other one gets up early for work. So it's 7 o'clock's past our bedtime. So.
Do you guys run that Steel City Paracon?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I wonder who runs that. Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's another, Jace, what's the name of the other Steel City group? We had them on our show one time.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Yeah, it must be them. Okay.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. That was
There's
a
few. There's Steel City Ghostbusters, Steel City Ghost Chasers.
No.
There's a few Steel City ones now.
There's one, I think there are two guys that belong to it. I think that was it. Two guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's been a while.
The two guys, is that the Steel City Pride Con? No.
I don't know. No, I don't know. Is there a Paracon this year?
I don't know.
You don't know? Girls, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know there was a couple down in West Virginia, but I'm not sure about here in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah,
that was the one down the cemetery, right?
Yeah.
I see
them on Facebook. It seems like after the event. I never seem to find out about it, you know, before they take place. Yeah, I wouldn't mind speaking at some of these events, you know, but I find out about them afterwards.
Would you get thrown out like you got thrown out of the church for speaking?
No, the church didn't throw. Oh, you mean, well, we completed the conference and they never invited us back.
Will but you catch on fire?
They should have known better before they booked us.
Oh, jeez.
So, Kim, do you want to start us off? Tell us a little about you and what got you into ghost hunting?
Yeah, sure. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. Always been into paranormal. I started seeing things when I was young and just never really freaked me out like you would think that it would when you're, you know, young and you see something you really shouldn't see. I just always found it very interesting and wanted to learn as much as I could about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of dropped the subject because no one wanted to hear it. Like, oh yeah, it's your imagination, you know, when you're a kid. And then, you know, whenever I got older, you know, watching all the ghost shows, excuse my cat. She's like, watching all the ghost shows and everything. It was so interesting. And then family members of mine actually formed the group back in 2010. And, you know, we were talking one day at a family reunion and I said, you know, will you please take me with you on one of your hunts? And I went and that was it. That was the end of it. That was 12 years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, all things spooky, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love all of it.
You love all of it?
Yeah. I like the aspect of the creepy buildings, you know, the architecture. I mean, we have more pictures of the, you know, woodwork and architecture we do of anything else from the buildings that we, you know, visit and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the buildings, the history of the people that are there, you know, the whole entire thing is just fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the paranormal aspect too. Of course, when you catch evidence or, you know, you can prove there is an afterlife, that's, you know, obviously the most exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely like an addiction, you know, like a can of Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop, you know.
Right.
You get that one first piece of evidence and you just want more and more.
Right. My first investigation, I actually caught, there was a one room that I just did not feel comfortable going in. And I went into that room and took pictures. And I actually caught these white mists that were like right in front of me. And I kept taking picture after picture after picture. And you could just see two of them. And like full body form moving away from me and then just fading out. It wasn't an actual apparition, but it was like a white mist shaped like a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is no doubt that the spiritual world, the paranormal, it's real. You know, I mean, the UFO field, you could question a lot of it, but, you know, the spirits and the paranormal and demonic activity. I mean, there to me, that's unquestionable, you know. But then again, you know, you can't convince the scientific community or, you know, if you go to the psychiatric community, they want to give you drugs and tell you why what you're seeing is a hallucination or something.
Right. I will have to tell you, though, a lot of the skeptics that have friends and even my husband was like, oh, Gagans are crazy, you know.
And
after reviewing some of the things that we've caught or, you know, he's actually gone on a few hunts with us and some of my other family members have gone that were like, yeah, you're crazy. Now they're really starting to, well, maybe there is something to this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I have,
do you remember your first investigation where you said you caught these mists?
Yeah, it was at the Judson House up, I think was that in Erie?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. We did the house and then there was another building across the street.
Right across the street. Yep.
Yeah.
How about you, Heather?
So I actually grew up in a haunted house. My parents still live there today.
All right.
So that's what got me started. My dad worked shifts in the steel mill. And he came home from work one night and was like, Heather, what are you still doing awake? And I said, the ice cream lady won't stop asking me what kind of ice cream I want. And he was like, well, then tell her and go to bed.
So what did you tell her?
I said, well, Daddy, she doesn't have peanut butter ice cream. He was like, can't you just be normal, like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry?
Why's Rocky Road.
Well, right? that should have sent the ghost away for an hour to go get it and bring it back.
Right.
That would have been crazy if one showed up in front of your, you know, wherever you were at, like, here's your ice cream.
Yeah, or you find it the next morning on the dresser.
Well, what was funny was there was a bowl and spoon next to, I had like a little nightstand next to my bed. And in the morning, there was a bowl and spoon there. And my dad's like, how did you get the bowl and spoon down? And I said, honestly, Dad, I didn't. The ice cream lady brought it. And so for a while, he thought I was crazy. And then he started hearing things and seeing things at night, too. Like you would hear the shower turn on in the middle of the night. You could smell what smelled like eggs being cooked in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now you're making me hungry.
Right?
We got ice cream. We got eggs. Where's the bacon?
My fault. There goes my thanks.
Have either of you ever brought anything home with you after an investigation where you started to have activity in your house and maybe got a little bit creepy?
Yeah, I think all of us have at one point.
Doesn't that scare you though?
No, actually, no. My house is haunted now that I live in, and Heather's house is haunted.
My house is haunted.
My house is haunted too.
Yeah, I mean, we're so immune to everything now. I think it takes a lot to really unnerve us.
Right? Well, there's different things that you could bring home. I mean, a ghost of a human is not going to do anything to you. But, you know, if you pick up a demonic entity, then you're dealing with something that's totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
So Hinsdale was the only place that ever really, after Hinsdale, I felt like there was something with me for a couple of days. And that one really did kind of bother me. Nowhere have I ever been where I was like, it came home with me or whatever. But after that one, I almost felt like something was constantly watching me. My husband and my daughter constantly have noise in the background. So a TV on, a radio on, whatever. And me, I like the silence. So they go to bed, I shut everything off, and I'm downstairs folding laundry. And I could just feel like something was watching. I ended up coming back upstairs, turning the TV on, went back downstairs to try to fold laundry, and I was like, forget it. I'm done. I'm going to bed. It is what it is. Whatever. You chill in the basement if you want, but I'm going to bed.
Stay down here.
Right?
Yeah.
We're actually heading to the Hinsdale house in what, September?
September.
I think it's September, yeah. Never been there. Pretty excited for it.
Yeah.
Right. What can we be in store for? Like, what was the craziest stuff that happened there for you?
Just be careful.
Yep.
It's we've had teams that had absolutely nothing happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had teams that split up right after. It plays tricks with your mind. It can cause you to argue amongst yourselves.
Yep.
We walked in the door and literally three people on our team actually got sick and had to leave within seconds of going in the house.
Wow.
And they, you know, they shook it off and came back in. The house was so heavy. It's such a thick, heavy feeling when you walk in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it rains the end. Like, we never sleep on investigations. And I guess we started our investigation about 8.
Yeah.
By night, we were all like so exhausted, we had to lay down. Like, we never sleep. Like, and It'll just play tricks with your mind. You know, it's rough.
Now, did you catch any video EVPs or anything?
We
stood out.
We actually have video. Kim said we went to sleep. And Sean, you know Missy pretty well. We were upstairs in the main room on the second floor, which is right across from Mary's room. So we had one investigator sleeping in Mary's room. I was sleeping right outside in the main room, and then Missy was going to sleep on the couch in the same room. She made it about 30 seconds and was like, "Heather, move over. I'm getting in bed with you." I was like, "All right, whatever."
No, Sean, I will not share a bed with you. Don't even try.
No. My secret to that is getting some melatonin. That's what I do at 3 in the morning, and it's like, I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'll pop a melatonin, and boy, I'm out like the light. So I don't know what they're doing around me. I'm not cool.
Right.
That's all I do. That.
Well, it was funny because it felt like something lifted my leg, and Missy felt the same thing at the same time, and we actually hit legs in midair.
Uh-oh.
So I kind of looked at her. She looked at me, and I was like, "Did something just lift your leg?" She was like, "Yep." So it wasn't.
That would be so awesome.
It was funny because the camera shut off up there, but it wasn't until years later, actually just recently, that we reviewed. We had caught a shadow downstairs where the other girls were sleeping, but in that same video, you actually see the shadow come across Loey, and then you see her pants being moved and her legs starting to raise.
Ooh,
but right. Honestly, we didn't see that till like what, maybe a year or two ago, Kim. Right. We were like, "What? Well, how did we not see this before?"
We actually caught the shadow. There was three couches in the living room, and three of us girls were sleeping in the living room while they were upstairs. And we caught the shadow right away. We knew we had that morning because we were viewing like right then and there. So we caught the shadow like pop in the screen, pop back out, and then pop back in again. And so we knew it was in the living room with us when we were sleeping. But right. It wasn't until about a year ago we actually caught the leg lift with one of our other teammates, which was pretty cool because it validated, you know, what they said with their legs getting lifted upstairs, too.
That's crazy. Now, when you were there at the Hinsdale, did you happen to investigate on the outside of the building and into the woods a little bit?
Yeah,
we went pretty far up on the hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up there. It was just starting to get dark. And at one point, we all thought we heard some music playing, like really
like
loud.
Like a flute?
No, it was more bassy, like drums or something like that. And like it sounded like somebody was chanting. Like, I don't know what they would be chanting. And then we actually saw lights coming down off the hillside. So, like, we weren't sure if somebody lived up on the hill behind there. So we got out of there because we didn't want to get shot at.
So let me ask you this. So I have like 4 surveillance cameras, usually for like investigations overnights. I'll set them up all throughout wherever we're at. Is there any, now keep in mind I have 4. So out of the whole house, where would you say I should set up these cameras and probably catch something?
So definitely that main room upstairs. Right. I would set it up. There used to be a bed kind of in that corner. I'm not sure where it's at right now, but right outside of Mary's room, if you can get it right there. There were 3 of us up there, and we actually caught, it was like a small shadow coming up the stairs, like a small animal, like the size of a cat.
And
it came completely upstairs. And you could see it blacking out the baseboards, and then it manifested into a full shadow. What we said was, you know, don't call anything out here. Let's just get a feel for the place. Well, what's Missy do? What are you doing hiding in the shadow?
That's her.
Right, I wonder who's grabbing your legs.
Right? So all you see are 3 females stuck in a doorway, like, all right, we're out.
Yeah, she's a good one. She's a good girl.
I mean, yep. The place is so small. Mm-hmm. I mean, really tiny. I mean, there's going to be noise contamination.
Yeah, that's the one unfortunate part of a you know, big group, small area kind of thing.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
It was really cold at one point. Like, if a couple of us were upstairs investigating, the rest of us sat downstairs quietly, and just so they could have their time, because otherwise you hear everything.
Right.
But at one point we were laying down to relax. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, welcome back.
Died back. So at one point we were just settling down. We started getting upstairs, like, good night, John Boy, you know, good night, Mary Sue, like all that stuff. Well, they were upstairs carrying on. So I'm yelling from downstairs, don't make me come up there. You know, it's time to go to sleep. And the total vape block. You couldn't hear a thing.
Nothing.
Like, I'm yelling upstairs to them where you could hear a whisper all day. And they totally could not hear me. It was like there was just this sound barrier. They never heard it. They didn't hear us.
Nope.
So
I remember doing an EVP session at the Belair house in Pap, and some others were being loud upstairs. So somebody got a little angry and started yelling at them through the floor. Shut up.
Yeah. John, what do you think of that barrier that they're talking about? What do you think of that?
What barrier? I don't understand what you mean. What barrier?
Were you awake?
Oh, you're talking about where they yelled upstairs. Oh, I see, and they didn't hear it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this whole field is so strange. Have you girls ever seen like a dark, misty shadow rolling across the ceiling? Have you ever encountered that at any location?
Hillview.
What do you think that means? Because I've seen that twice. My girlfriend saw it. My sister saw it in our house in New Jersey. You know, it's the weirdest thing. It's rolling along the ceiling, like energy. It's got form, and you know, and it's rolling, and then it kind of gets to the corner and it dissipates. It's gone. What do you think that represents?
Supernatural season 2, episode 4.
But I mean, do you think that's demonic? Do you think that what do you think?
Something trying to be creepy. Mm-hmm.
But just, is that just a human spirit that can do that? Or yeah. What?
Yes, they can. I think.
Yeah. I think they're just trying to creep you out.
Did it work, John? No. Did it creep you out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the first time my sister, I was upstairs, my sister and a whole family saw it in the living room rolling across the ceiling. They were screaming, come on down. The time I got there, you know, it was gone. And then twice I saw it, once in that same Jersey house and once here. It is the weirdest thing. My girlfriend and I were getting ready to go to bed. The nightlight was on and she was putting cream on her legs and her feet and all of that. And all of a sudden from the hallway, you see this thing roll into the room across the ceiling. And it's like it's rolling smoke. And it just, we look at it and say, what the hell is that? And, you know, there's a nightlight on, so it can't be casting a shadow on the ceiling, you know. And then it got above us, and we both, like, I grabbed the sheets and pulled them up to my chin. And I looked at it, I said, what is that? We looked back, and it was gone. And then it happened again here in this house. And, I mean, it's so pronounced, like smoke, and it's moving. You know, it's like moving as it rolls. And it's very, very, you know, it's weird. I've always wondered the. You know, is that a demonic entity? Is that, does it represent something?
My feelings on that are, I think energies start to manifest themselves, and wherever they're pulling energy from, it might not necessarily be, you know, something where electric in the ceiling, right? So if that's where they're manifesting and that's where they're getting their strength, it could be them manifesting in that area. So I don't always go toward demonic to start. I just kind of get a feel for it before I think, okay, yeah, no, that might could be not just paranormal, but more demonic. Right.
So do you think that is different from a shadow person that you see standing in your room? Let's say, or does it just manifest itself as different things, or are they two different types of entities and one's more to be concerned about?
Well, I mean, think about it. You have things like shapeshifters. That's something that I'd be more concerned about than an apparition, a full-bodied apparition that you see. You know, we all have our form in life and have different things that we like. So, like, I tell my family all the time, keep messing with me, and I swear to God, I'm coming back to haunt you every day.
I already have a list that long.
Right? Yep. That is my goal when I'm dead, is to scare the shit out of every person I can.
I think when it comes to this sort of thing, I think I personally would be more worried about, like, poltergeist activity.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons I mentioned that is because we lived through that here at my house. We had poltergeist activity back in 2013, and it was just vicious. I won't go into the whole story because we don't have enough time for that. But, you know, seeing an apparition or a shadow man, we've all seen shadow figures and everything, and it's usually, you know, 98% of the time harmless, you know, just residual energy or something. But it's when you get like the poltergeist that's destroying stuff, you know, throwing things, that's when I start to worry.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can see a shadow man all day, but starts throwing stuff at me, I'm getting out of the way.
You don't know where it's coming from.
Well, you don't want to concede your house to this thing. So would you leave, or would you take it on and command it in the name of Jesus to leave? I mean, what would you do if you encountered some sort of poltergeist activity?
Well, in our situation, we fought against it. And we got rid of the actual poltergeist spirit that was causing havoc. Now the house is still haunted. We have good spirits here now. They're friendly, you know, don't cause any harm. You know, they just open some doors or move stuff around. But the actual bad spirit, you have to face this. I mean, what are you going to do? You're just going to pack up and just leave? Move?
No. Like,
that's your home, you know. You can't give it up because you are, you know, the current owner of your house or whatever, and it either needs to settle down or get out.
So, do you find that it stays in the house, or it follows the person to different homes even if they leave?
See, that all depends on that. Now, if you would have, like, say, like, played with an Ouija board or something like that, and you got something out and it just attaches to itself to you, so wherever you go, I do believe that spirit will follow you. But I'd say 99% of the time, that ghost that you see is part of the house, or if not part of the house, part of the land that the house is built on.
Or it could even be an item. It could be attached to something.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it could be just, you know, a picture. It could be a bed frame, an ornament. Yeah. And then you got to, good luck figuring it out.
you know, I had activity three houses in a row, and it was concurrent. And I spoke to a priest, and he goes, it's you. It's attached to you. Because it don't matter if you go somewhere else. It's coming with you, you know. But I don't know why it's attached.
Well, ask him if it'll get you a bowl of ice cream. Jeez.
Yeah.
my question to you, John. Hi, Doreen. My question to you. Is now when you moved to the different houses, did you bring any antiques along with you?
You know, I was thinking that, you know, as an adult, nothing happened in New York on Long Island, but we moved to Oklahoma, and there were two instances there, three knocks on the ceiling three times in a row. Each one was louder than the prior one. And then one night I was going to bed, we had a first floor master bedroom, and I heard an Indian chant in the hallway, clearly male, like that. It was loud, you know, but I took the chandeliers from that house and brought them to my New Jersey house. And I always wonder now, did they attach to that because it was built in the house, you know, before I bought it? Because everything, you know, we brought furniture in, we took furniture out, That was the only thing I took from the house that was actually part of it, you know. But the moment we moved into that New Jersey house, you know, I wonder, were those people practicing something, doing something? That was a full-blown haunted poltergeist house. And I don't know if I brought it with me from Oklahoma, but, you know, all we heard were three knocks three times and an Indian chant in the house. And they get to New Jersey, and it's out of control. So I don't know. I kind of think
it was probably mad at you for going to freaking New Jersey.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there either. You know, I told my boss, I don't want to go to New Jersey. I escaped New York. And I said, you know, you sent me to the Southwest. I loved it there, and you sent me back to New Jersey. I didn't want to go there. But,
did you do any research to see if there was any potential, like, Indian burial grounds around?
Now, you know, back then, I don't know. I was, like, 30 years old, and I was so busy at work. UPS is a tough place to work. I was an executive at an early age, and had a lot of responsibility, and it was like, okay, this stuff's going on, but okay, I got to go to work, and then it's like, it's 6 months later, something happens, then it's 4 months later, and you know, I didn't spend dwell on it, but the things that happened got your attention, and, you know, you just knew something was wrong, but I didn't go and try to, you know, I should have, one of the girls at work, one of the managers, when she heard I bought the house on 3 Sioux Court, she goes, oh, we used to hang out there and have parties. And I really should have grabbed her and asked, was there any poltergeist activity in the house? Did the prior owners have any issues? I believe in New Jersey, you have to divulge if the house is haunted. Pennsylvania, you don't. Right. But New York, and I believe New Jersey, you have to divulge, you know, tell the people, you know, if they ask, I guess. You're supposed to tell them.
Well, the reason I was asking you if about Indian burial grounds or anything like that is the woods next to my house are actually haunted here as well, and there was some pretty bad stuff up there, and I actually caught on camera. I got two spirits, different times, different cameras. They're cool. From the woods next door. But with the Indian burial grounds, you know, that are around here somewhere, we found, through doing research and everything, that if we make the spirits an offering, usually they will protect our property line. So probably at least, like, I want to say, like, once a year, year and a half, whenever stuff starts getting crazy over here, because there's portals in the house and stuff can channel through, and, you know, we've had stuff follow us from over there, whatever, but you know, I'll go up and I'll take fruit and tobacco and I'll spread it out as an offering, you know, for the Indian tribes to watch the property line and not let anything cross over. And it works. Yep. You know, and when stuff starts to get crazy or act up a bit, you know, we'll go up there, put some fruit out, some tobacco. And here's something crazy. So, Sean, you remember this one. I put out a bunch of fruit and tobacco for the first time. You know, this is a few years back after all this activity and everything. And I want to say it was like, I think it was around October. All right. Now, you know, woods, there's animals and everything. You put food out, your trash, they're tearing it up, raccoons, whatever. By springtime, so we're fast forwarding the whole winter. By springtime, I went back up in the woods, and every piece of fruit that I took up there was still sitting there and looked like the day I put it there. Like, it wasn't rotten, it wasn't eaten, nothing. And I was like, okay, this is some crazy stuff here, you know. So I firmly believe in it. You know, if you properly give them an offering, that they will help you in return. You know, that's why I was asking you about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember the day I was sitting in my backyard in Edmond, Oklahoma, reading a paper. I still got a paper delivered, and the subdivision, like next to us, the builder got in a lot of trouble because he discovered bones in an Indian burial ground, and he didn't say anything, and they covered it right up and just built all the houses and everything. And I guess it got somebody, you know, told on him and stuff. And it was an article in the paper. And I remember saying to myself, you know, maybe my house was built on an Indian burial ground too. I don't know. Because it was absolutely an Indian chant in the hallway. It was a male. And it went, ho, ho, just like that. It was a man's voice, like an Indian chant, you know? So I don't know. I always wondered that, almost like the Poltergeist movie, you know, how they they built a, you know, over a burial ground.
Hey, Kim, what kind of equipment do you guys use?
I was just going to ask that. From one team to another, you know, what is your favorite line of equipment? Do you guys break up, like, who does what? Like, how do you guys run your group, the Steel City Ghost Hunters?
We all do everything. Our favorite is just the basics. Camcorder and audio recorders. Okay. You know, you always see, you can, you think you have the worst night ever. You're not catching it or hearing or seeing anything. You get home, you listen to your audio, you're caught all this amazing stuff. So the basics, I guess we like to tend to stick to the basics all the time. But we use the REM pods, the Melmeter, K2s. We have laser grids, the IR cameras, the voice, the ghost box, the voice box. We pull everything. Dowsing rods we use. Depends on the location, what kind of feel we're getting. REM pod's one of my favorite too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And our flashlights, we don't use the twist flashlights. We use mag light flashlights. They're you set them to night light, so you push it and then it kind of stays on, but it stays dim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you touch it, it brightens up. Ooh. So it kind of dims
that's
out.
New.
Yeah, we've been using that for quite some time now. So we've tested them against the twist flashlights, you know, the twist little thing.
Yeah.
And we probably had 50 of them lined up one time in a hallway, and then we had the mag light in the middle. All of them were going off like crazy, and the mag light never went off.
Oh wow!
So when that one goes off, we know, because it, like, if we have it on the floor, like a thud, a heavy vibration will set it off as well. But you know, you have to touch it to make it, you know, go bright again. So that's one of our favorites too, because when that goes off, we get pretty excited because it doesn't go off that often.
What do you think about the what do you think about using the ghost box? Which one do you have, and what is your opinion on it?
We have an SB7 and we have an SB11.
Right.
We have an S box too. So
okay,
we have three different ones. We like them. Sometimes they're hard to hear, and sometimes I think you can, one person hears one thing, someone else hears something else. So,
okay.
I like it, but I don't.
What's okay. that thing you put on top of your SB, Jason?
What?
Don't you put a cover on it?
Oh, the Faraday pouch. Have either of you heard of the Faraday pouch for your? I have an S box, and I went ahead and I purchased the Faraday pouch, is what they call it. You put the S box in there, and then I'll usually hook up like an external speaker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the sound gets muffled or whatever. But what the Faraday pouch does is blocks all the radio signal. So you get nothing but clean, you know, just, you know, radio signal free sound. And I also found, first off, I was kind of skeptical of the spirit boxes because it's like, okay, you know, does it work? Does it not work? I don't know. So I bought an S box on, you know, try it out. And like I say, you know, I got the Faraday pouch, and then I found that using the AM band on reverse seems to give the best results. Now, you know, we'd hear stuff or get a response, and it's like, okay, is this legit? I don't know. Well, there was an investigation where a voice came through, and it was of a person that I knew. And other people knew this person as well, and it had the tone of their voice, and everything was spot on. So it was from that point on that I started to realize, you know, once you learn how to set it up and, you know, use the Faraday and everything like that, you can really, I think it really works, you know, and that's just my experience and my opinion on it. And we've been on several investigations where we get answers. It's like, okay. And then it's over three or four radio sweeps, you know, of bands of radio stations. So, you know, I think they do work. I think they do.
I do.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with Jason on that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I agree with Jason on that.
Well, thank you, Sean.
We're doing an investigation down in Carnegie down here in the local, and we actually got some information for the Historical Society through the voice box.
Oh, really?
Okay.
They didn't know the name of the one person. They didn't know he was a physician. And then after we told them, hey, we got this information, they researched it, and it was right. It was, like, dead on. And they used to use it as a church. And, like, we asked, like, you know, what denomination was that, you know, what practice did you use? And it told us Lutheran. They looked it up. It was a Lutheran church at one point. So, I mean, they do work. It's they're just a little difficult sometimes to.
Right, because a lot of time, you know, like you know, Heather was saying, one person might hear one thing, and somebody hears something else. That's you know the human mind.
Yes.
Sometimes it makes you hear what you want to hear, and not actually what you did hear. Yeah. Which is why audio recorders and cameras come in handy, so you can record it, and you'd be like, oh. That's not what I heard, or yeah, I missed that, or yeah, I got that.
That's a good thing you said there, Jay. What do you guys do? Say, like, you hear something, Kim, and you hear something different, Heather. How do you guys come up with a conclusion on what it was?
So my rumble
does a lot of the, he'll go back and he'll take out, like, background noise and things like that to bring it out so we can hear it. That we actually had that at Hillview one time, and we thought it said something completely different, and it was up in Jeffrey's wing, and when he put it on his speakers downstairs and drowned out the background noise, it was something completely and totally different. It was like dead bodies or something that we thought out. It was like a last name, and we were like, what the hell, where did that even come from? It was funny. So you know, we just Kim and I were just talking about that the other day, like, instead of, you know, we all review our own evidence and things, and we send it to each other, but we had talked about, you know, kind of doing like an evidence review night so that, you know, Kim's got her information, I've got my information, we plug it in on the TV up here and we all listen to it and we watch it. Kim knows what she heard. All right, girls, what do you hear? Right. And then we can kind of talk about it. And if it is something that's questionable, we take it down, we pull it out, and see if we're able to kind of get more of a definitive rather than just, you know, go with inconclusive.
Right. And then always, too, when in doubt, throw it out.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've done that before, throwing a lot of stuff out.
There's really a lot of times with like photos, you go through, you look at the photos, if something catches your eye, put it to the side, you know, then a couple days later come back and they're like, I don't see nothing. And then you're like looking for it and you're like, okay, it's not throw it off.
It's not,
Right. Even when we're investigating, we try not to voice out loud a lot. But like if we see or hear something, we'll just kind of, we communicate so well by looks, you know.
Oh, wow.
Because we work well together. So, like, I'll look at her, she'll look at me, and one of us will shake our head or, like, give you a look like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, and if we agree, like, yeah, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. And that, what did you hear? And then, so we don't play off of each other because a lot of times you're in a dark building and you're looking down the hall. It's like, did you see that? And then your mind starts to create that because someone just told you, I just saw this, you know? So we try not to do that too much.
So speaking of seeing things, you were at the Hillview Manor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was it the second floor near the restroom where the gentleman hung himself and everything? I forget what they call that.
Angela, closed hallway.
Yeah, that's it. Did you have any experience there or see anything, you know, around the witching hour, 2-3 in the morning? And if so, what was it?
So there's hooks on the shower curtains where the curtains used to be. We kept hearing that over and over and over again. We couldn't solidify what the noise was. And finally, one of our other investigators went up there and he was sitting by himself. This is when our team was a lot larger. And he was sitting up there by himself and the hooks moved.
Oh, wow.
And that's when we that the hooks that were making that noise, not something else. So, one of them, Kim, what have you Missy and I have heard. Missy, when bad things start to happen, it gets really creepy. I start to laugh. I can't help it, right? So like, there's heavy footsteps up there. It right. literally sounded like boots, like stomping down the hallway. And I just start laughing, and she's like, "Heather, shut up! This is a laughing matter. Let's go take a break." And I was like, "Oh my god, what is wrong with you?" Like.
So whenever you guys go do an investigation, I mean, when you first started, and not even through the whole night, are you like dead serious about it, or can you have fun with it? How do you guys like to do it?
Both. I mean, both? We all have fun. We always. Okay.
Have. Yeah, you gotta have fun. I mean, everybody thinks we're crazy, so I mean, you right? gotta have fun with it.
If we're not getting tired and acting like ourselves. And then sometimes stuff starts to happen just because we're screwing around and it's like, okay, they're not paying attention to us. Like, let's get them now. Right. So,
yeah,
that's all the time.
So let me ask you this before we get too far past the Hillview Manor. Did you happen to see any creature like thing in that hallway? I have to ask you.
Not in that one down. It was down near the cafeteria actually.
Right. And that's
okay. Can
I
you describe
the feeling?
Can you describe what you saw? Because I have a story about the place, and then there was another group that saw what I saw, you know, at a completely different date, like 2 years apart or whatever. So I want to see what you saw.
Can you that? Or you want me to tell
you? That's the thing. That's where I saw the thing crawling across the ceiling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming from the back where the big metal roll down door is. Like, if you go to the back of the kitchen,
okay,
it was crawling up towards the main, we call it the party room because we always sing and dance when we're in there.
Now, what would you say it looked like? Can you describe it just vaguely? I'm really curious. I don't want to tell you what I saw until, you know.
It almost looked like an animal
okay.
to me. And I watched it for a few minutes because it had, like, a longer face, like, I don't want to say like a dog, but dog-like.
Okay.
What I saw. And that, like, the
longer.
The arms weren't close together. They were, like, kind of really far apart, like how a dog would crawl.
Yeah.
If it was, like, hunched down.
Okay. So okay.
That's what I saw. And I've seen that there twice.
Oh. All right.
But in two different areas.
Oh, wow. All in the same night.
No, the first time it was, we were like with a huge group of people. And then the other time we were just with a few people.
Okay. Well, when we were there, I remember it was around the witching hour and, you know, it was just getting late and everything. Well, there was a group of us that said, "Hey, let's go check out this hallway. You know, they're saying it's really haunted. You'll hear the footsteps and everything." And so we're sitting up there in the hall and, I forget how many. There was like probably, I think, five of us maybe. And we did hear what sounded like footsteps, like Heather was describing. And it sounded like, okay, so that's pretty cool. It was coming from down the hall. Now where it got creepy was there was this thing. We don't know what it was, all right? But it was kind of creeping around the one doorway. So it's like hidden in the darkness, but like you caught a glimpse of it and then, you know, then nothing for a minute or whatever. Well, a couple of the investigators saw this thing dart across the hall into another room and they described it almost like crab walking. This creature, it was long. It just scurried straight across and, you know, it freaked a couple of them out, and I was like, whoa, you know, what's going on? So let's fast forward to, I think it was last year, I was on a paranormal page on Facebook or something, one of the, you know, giant groups that's on there, and somebody else from another group posted very similarly describing what we saw that night.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I was wondering what you saw.
Wow.
So it kind of sounds like we may all have seen the same thing initially, you know, but we each perceive it a little bit differently, you know,
right.
For description wise. But That's really cool. I think that, you know, I'd say that's a solid, you know, three different groups may have seen the same thing. Now, let's see if we can get it on actual, like, video.
Right.
That'd be cool.
You know, that'd be sweet. You know, next time I'm gonna we go up there, I'm just gonna surveillance that whole hallway, put cameras in. Right.
Yeah, and we saw it in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes sense though, because like the wide arms, like I said, like they were like really wide.
Yeah, it was real long, low to the ground.
Right.
It was almost like a crab walk and just darted across the hall and freaked a couple people out. And then finding that another group saw the same thing, and then, you know, us talking about it. So it's something there. I just don't think any of us know exactly what it is.
Right.
John, do you have any questions, any theories, something like that? They come to your mind?
Well, you know, my son in New Jersey, he was brushing his teeth. He was in the bathroom, and the cat was on the counter. And he saw this hairy creature, almost like Predator or something, but it was like long hair, like Cousin It, you know? And he saw it walk across the hallway. And the cat turned and looked at it, and he saw it in the mirror. And so my question really, and the funny thing is then years later, I wonder if that's years later or concurrently, because I'm living here and they're living in New Jersey. I go to my first UFO conference in 99, and when I come home from it, I have all of this lucid dreams and paranormal activity, but in a dream, and I know it was a dream, that thing is standing next to my bed, and I'm waking up like every hour at night, like it's there, and before I even open my eyes, I'm swinging my fist at it, and one time I hit the headboard, almost broke my wrist. But is there a significance to particular types of creatures that are seen? That's why I asked you about the rolling black orb compared to a shadow person. So now you see a creature, you know, a shapeshifter or something, a creature. And the odd thing is I see it in a dream here, and my son physically sees it in New Jersey, right around the same time, too.
Now, did your son see this first and then tell you about it?
No, he told me years later, because I didn't start to document this until 2014, when I think the activity turned to demonic, and I decided I'm going to now document it. And then later in 16, I decided I'm going to write a book about this. So, and my kids told me stuff afterwards that I had never known before that happened to them, really, in the New Jersey house, because we had gotten divorced. So I didn't know what was happening, and they never told me, you know. So, no, he didn't tell me about that. And it's odd that we have a similar experience 300 miles apart.
That is very interesting.
Before we go on, I got to thank our sponsor, Carnation, for sponsoring the second hour of the show. So, thank you, Carnation.
Thank you, Carnation.
Does Carnation have chocolate milk?
coffee creamer, chocolate milk.
Coffee creamer.
Yeah. Breakfast essentials.
Yeah.
But, Kim, have you ever been down to the Bel Air house?
Oh, yes. We go once a year as our girls' weekend trip.
Do you stay one night or two nights?
We stay two.
Have you experienced... Now, because we were there twice, and we talked to the owners, because the first time we were there, there was some stuff, nothing, you know, too crazy. And then the second time, it was just hammer down, nonstop action. And
that's typical.
The owners actually said, I asked them about it. I said, hey, listen, you know, last time we were here, it really wasn't a whole lot. You know, is that common? And he said that usually... the way that house operates is they'll be really active one weekend and then the next weekend not so active, you know, kind of re-energizing, I guess.
Or one night, recharging. And then the next night, yeah. It's completely different.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah. We got lucky that we got to experience both. The first time was pretty calm. There's a couple things. And the way the house itself changed, like the feeling of it, that was the biggest. But the second time we were there, was just awesome activity. So oh, what yeah. did you what did what did you guys experience down there?
Heather, go. So our last investigation, our one investigator, she's a little bit older, and we tell her all the time, like, she doesn't hear shit ever. She just doesn't hear it, right? And we were in the, it's funny because we always end up at the seance table for hours upon hours upon hours. And we were at the seance table. We were doing a session. We had the camera set up. We were doing the Estes method actually. So Kim was listening live. We had a thermal set up on the hallway towards the kitchen. Loie had her back directly to the altar kind of fireplace thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was to Loie's left. Kim was to my left. And then Missy was on the other side. And all of a sudden, we started, for whatever reason, we found Alex upstairs in the, what is that, the altar room? In that middle bedroom.
I think they called it the seance room.
Yeah, and that's where we always get ready for whatever reason. So we had all showered that morning, and Kim was looking at the stuff on the wall, and it was talking about Alex. So Missy started a line of questioning about Alex, and he had spent some time in a psychiatric facility. And she said something about why were you in the psychiatric facility? And then all of a sudden, something came from the hallway right around behind Loie. It actually brushed its hand across Loie's back to the point where I got up and, like, moved toward Kim, like, I'm stuck back here. Like, I'm going to move over here. because that place, I'm always afraid, like, are you going to get scratched? Are you going to get, like, you never know. Sometimes that place is real quiet. Sometimes that place is off the hook. And the first night we were there, it was real quiet. Second night we were there, not so much.
Could you actually feel, like, the next day, actually feel the house change?
Oh, yeah.
Energy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Last few times that we went there, the first night we were like, we had activity. We had, like, whistles all night. We were seeing flashing lights. We had, you know, the typical sounds, noises. You know, that was kind of cool. We were getting responses on our equipment, and then when we were fine. And the next night, it was just, it flipped. It's like the house just flipped a switch. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like unwelcoming. I mean, because we spend the weekend there. We eat there. We sleep there. We, you know, goof around. And we usually start about 5 o'clock Friday and leave Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. But the last few times we were there, like Saturday night, it just changed so much.
Yeah, that was like the first time we were there. Friday was all, this is awesome, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel positive energy. And then Saturday, there wasn't a whole lot of activity, but the demeanor of the house itself.
Oh, it was crazy.
Like, it just took a trip to the dark side.
Yeah.
Right.
So
he's gotten scratched there already up in the attic. She's gotten her hair pulled where we were sitting at the table to the point where her chair flipped backwards. And if her knees weren't underneath the table, she would have literally landed on her back.
Yep.
And they were all like second night incidents. Like, you know, first night there always seems, you know, just chill. And then the second night, it just, we call it like Little Hinsdale because the atmosphere will change on you.
So, what about the cellar?
We don't really spend a whole lot of time in the cellar.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
You should. Take my word for it.
Yes. We've
had a couple flashlight responses down there, and we've had we've never really gotten a whole lot of activity down there. Honestly,
go down there, set up a couple surveillance cameras, okay, and go down there a few times. Okay. Go down there early, you know. Maybe do an EVP or something a couple hours later, and then, like, maybe shoot to finish off the night down there, like 2 or 3 in the morning, and see what happens.
Look at the cat.
Here, she is like, oh, Jethan.
Your cat looks ginormous because she's right on the camera.
Sorry,
John. Do you have anything to say, John? Oh, I'm sorry.
That same type of atmosphere, I had that here also, too. You know, people would come over and they'd say, John, your house just feels so dark, so heavy, the atmosphere. And I remember when I brought the priest in, and we did drive it out for about 6 months, and my daughter-in-law, my son, and his wife came over, and she said, wow, your house, it just feels so fresh, like it's not that heavy atmosphere, you know? But that was when whatever was in the house, I was convinced was a demonic entity. And it just a total, total different feel to the house. And you knew something else was there, you know. But, you know, of course, I was hearing it also and being poked. So I knew it was there.
Oh, yeah. I can relate with that. Before the, you know, here, before the poltergeist had enough energy to start causing havoc here, I remember, like, there's like certain parts of the house just felt different. There was a portal in the one basement, and like, you know, I was like 25 at the time, and it's like I find myself running through the basement because it's like, ooh, there's like a chill spot, like something's not right, you know. And you could just feel like some kind of heavy, like you're describing. And then once it festered enough and got enough energy, started creating havoc to let us know like it was here, and then we had to, you know, go about to get rid of it. And then once it was gone, like it was just super uplifting. Mm-hmm. Like it just, everything felt lighter. Yeah, and you totally could breathe different. Easier. Yeah. It's crazy.
Now, Kim and Heather, have either of you encountered smells, you know, like a death, like something rotting, a smell like that? Have you?
That's usually not good, right?
No.
Well, I had that too. I'll tell you about that. But go ahead. Tell us if you've run into, because, you know, I asked, I didn't know. I was like a UFO person at the time. And I was into none of this stuff until I was 41. So I know anything about any of this.
Welcome
stuff.
To the rabbit hole.
Yeah. And so, you know, I get into the UFO stuff because I really wanted to write a book on it. I had a lot of ideas for a novel. And I'm looking into that, and then I end up with all this paranormal activity, which I knew absolutely less about. But I would talk to the ghost hunters, like, what does this mean? You know, Brian Seach, and I can't think of the guy he does in Gettysburg. He does some of the tours, him and his wife. He was an investigator for MUFON. And when I told them there were smells, they said, you got a demon in the house, you know?
So usually, like, sulfur...
Yeah, well, what's a sulfur, man? I didn't know if the dog did his business, but that was my first impression. And then there was a column in the hallway. Like, you'd walk through it and you'd smell it. If I backed up a foot, I didn't smell anything. I move forward, I smell it. Back up, I don't smell it. And it was maybe, you know, like 2 feet wide, let's say, as I pass through. And, you know, at your brain says, oh, the dog did his business in one of the bedrooms, right? And then I'm standing, I'm going, this is not that. This is like a dead animal, like a rotting dead animal smell. You know, okay. So what do? I walk into the bathroom and I put the fan on, thinking whatever is there is going to get sucked out. And, well, came back 3 hours later after watching the baseball game. It's still there, but only in that spot. And it came back twice more in July, and I think that initial, you know, that initial time was in June, but two other times it came back, and it was right around my father's birthday in July. Same spot, same type of smell, but that was only there for one day, you know. And then I didn't know. I called the gas company, and I had the guy come by for the furnace, and I said, you got a gas leak or something. And but, you know, they, I guess gas, you don't smell it, or they put a perfumed odor to it or something. I don't remember. But the guy checked everything and says, you don't have any gas leaks in the house, you know? So have you encountered that, Kim or Heather, where you have that rotten smell?
Well, quite a few times. Like, just our last investigation. It was like all different spots in the house all evening. It would be, you'd be in there 1 minute and it would be great. And you come back and a half an hour later and you would literally smell death.
Jeez.
So, wow. Greenville Manor.
Manor. Were we there? Noble Manor?
Green Manor.
Greenville, no.
Yeah.
No, we haven't been there.
Oh, go.
Check it out.
Favor and take a trip.
Again, does that signify anything to you that you encounter a rotting flesh smell? What does that mean? That's what I'm, you know, I want to learn from this is what does that mean? You know, like the different shapes you see. What does it mean? What does a smell? Because, you know, I was told that means you got demonic activity. That's what I was told. Yeah, you know, I don't.
That's
know.
What a lot of people interpret it as yeah. far as I know.
Now, with that burning flesh, right, was there a fire in that building or in that particular pot where somebody did die from being put on fire?
Well, and that's what I was just going to say. The place that we were just at was a funeral home. So, you know, smelling rotting flesh or things like that, is it something, again, my first instinct isn't to, oh my God, this is demonic, right? My first instinct is, what is this and why? Why is it taking on the smell of rotting flesh? So it was a funeral home. You know, the building was late 1800s. I don't know when they started embalming bodies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Amish still don't embalm bodies, right?
No,
so,
no.
But so when did we start to embalm bodies? Is that something that is, again, something that's residual? So just like sound, is it a residual smell that comes through there? So that's just my thought process on it. Like I said, I don't always go straight to demonic. I don't discount demonic because there's definitely, I think, demonic activity out there. But I always try to think back to see what could this potentially be. So did someone catch on fire there and die, and that's why you're smelling rotting flesh? Or, you know, like they say, you can smell this kind of perfume, you know, from females in different places. So is it the same thing where something bad has happened in that spot, and that's the smell that you're getting because it's that residual type of a haunt?
And I don't think that there's any way for anybody to really know,
right,
those answers. I mean, that's why we do what we do, to try to figure it out. Right. You know, everybody can have their own theories on it.
Yeah.
But why takes a certain shape, or why something smells a certain way. Like Heather said, it could be a residual thing. It could be, you know, the creepy crawlers or the ceiling dwellers. You know, that to me, that's just, they're trying to creep you out, you know.
Because they know while you're there. They, you know.
Right.
But they don't realize that we've been to a lot of investigations and to a lot of haunted places, and it's not going to affect us.
Right.
Hey, it plays on fear, right?
Right, exactly.
So if it causes fear, what's going to happen? It's going to keep to manifesting, right, and causing more fear. And that's what it wants to do. So is it something that's trying to create fear, and that's why they're doing it, and using that type of a smell and using that type of a, you know, odd shapeshifter type of form? Or is it something that's truly where they're manifesting or how they're manifesting? We don't know. And those are some of the answers that we want. And Lord, I wish they could tell us how we could get that out of them.
Ask them. Just ask them, and they'll give you your
set up all your spirit boxes with recorders.
I got the perfect example of playing on your fears. Prospect.
Yeah.
We have, I swear...
Prospect Place?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a cold place, yeah.
Yes, it's one of our
I didn't get nothing from there.
We had the bat from hell.
Yeah, we.
I swear to you, there was one bat in this building, and no matter what room we were in, that damn bat made it into that room. So we actually had it bust through the plaster. Into
oh, really?
The room. Oh, every time.
Like the Kool-Aid man just come rolling in hot.
When that happened, I'm like, all right, now it's messing with us. Like, it's using this bat to get us out of the room. because it would, like, no sooner we'd start to have activity in a room, and then the next thing you know, we're getting dive bombed in the head.
Should send him to the bat cave.
Yeah, I know, right? We were getting dive bombed by this bat. We even went in a room, checked it, shut the door, started our investigation, and as soon as we started getting activity, the freaking bat ended up in the closed room with us.
Oh, how? Wow. we have a May. I hope I pronounce her last name right. Gagne. She says that she played with a Ouija board, brought something through, and it was evil. My cousin said they asked where the devil lives, and the board spelled my name. Long story short, it pinned me to my bed and went through my toes and came out my mouth. Then immediately after you heard wind engulfing me and went through my toes and came out of my mouth. My house went from heavy to light and no more fear. Thank you for sharing that, May.
I should add with my situation, I got the impression whatever that was angry. And because, you know, I said I smelled that, I put the fan on and went downstairs. So then I'm watching the baseball game. My Doberman comes over. He's 110 pounds, right? He lays across my legs. We're watching the Detroit Tiger game. We're watching it. All of a sudden on the wall, the loudest sonic boom you could ever hear. Boom! The picture flips up about an inch, and I got two Indian headdresses, and the feathers blow to the side. And the dog and I simultaneously turn to the picture. So he heard it, and I heard it. And there were times that the dog heard it, and I heard it. Other times I'd hear something, dog didn't hear it at all. You know, so some of it's telepathic. And then I, you know, at 3 hours later after the game, went upstairs to go to bed. The smell is still there. I turned the fan off in the bathroom. I go to bed. I put the weather on. The dog sleep, like, laying on the chair in front of the footboard. I'm watching TV. I see the dog's head. And in my bathroom, again, the sound was like a sonic boom. It's incredible. Boom! Again, both the dog and I turned to look at the bathroom. But it, you know, it's funny. I didn't know anything about this stuff, and it didn't scare me. It made me mad. It's actually what it did. So I turned the weather off, and I rolled over, and I went to bed. You know, so maybe that pissed it off. But yeah, I just, there's so many strange things like that happened. And you know what's funny too? And I just mentioned it to Fred Saluga, you know, with MUFON. I said, you know, it didn't really occur to me that. At the time I was on television with the History Channel, 2014 and 15, two seasons with the Hangar One TV show, was when the bulk of this activity started here, you know, 2014, June 6th of 14 until April 23rd of 16. And 14 and 15 is when I'm on television for the UFO show. So I don't, in my instance, it seems to me the UFO activity I'm involved in brings in this demonic stuff or poltergeist stuff. I don't know.
Could it possibly be an alien?
Well, you know, there were people that, you know, yeah, it's funny. If you talk to the UFO people, they say it's alien, because in 2009 at 5 a.m, I'm sleeping and my bed looks right down the hallway, the way it's set up. I wake up at, it was exactly 5 a.m. because I looked at the clock. I wake up stark awake and I look, there's somebody standing down the hallway. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like rubbing my eyes. I'm looking. He's standing there and he's backlit. It's almost like the attic light was on. He's backlit. He's standing there like in a motion with his arms out to the side. Like he was getting ready to turn and go up the stairs up through the attic for some reason. And he's standing there, and I caught him, and his head was above the door frame, which is 6'8". I measured it. So he was over 7 feet tall, 7'2", let's say. The weird thing was he had a square head. And oh, wow. That's why I was thinking alien. I mean, the UFO people say it was a helmet. And you couldn't see any clothing, you know, because it was backlit, it was almost silhouetted. I couldn't see if he was, if he had clothing on, it was skin tight, like a space suit, or he had no clothing on, you know, and I'm assuming it's a male. And the thing had about an eight to 12 inch waist. So obviously it doesn't eat. I mean, it was the long arms, long legs, a square head, and a tiny little waist. You know, it was the weirdest thing that, and it's there. I crawled to the footboard and I look and I'm saying, okay, this is like 30 seconds into this and he's still there. And I was taking kickboxing. And in my head, I said, step over the football, charge it, and hit it as hard as you can. I no sooner had that thought, and then another, like, voice in my head says, you don't want to do that. That could be unsafe. Step up side of the bed and turn the light on. Well, of course, I did that because I thought it was my thoughts telling me to do that. And I did that, and it was gone. And the my Doberman sleeping in the hallway at the top of the stairs, I walked past them because I wanted to check, see if there were footprints on the rug. I walked back to my bed, laid down. The dog never woke up. He never turned. You cannot walk past the dog and not have him turn and acknowledge you that you're there. But, you know, it's almost, so I don't know. It's almost like, you know, the alien stuff where one person's taken, the woman's taken, and the husband sleeps through it. Well, the dog slept through it. And dogs don't sleep through anything when you walk past them. So I don't know, you know, and the UFO people said, well, it had a square head. And then when I went back to my bed and I laid down, it seemed like there was a light outside that moved away. You could see it get dimmer and move away. So I don't know. You know, they say it's alien, but then to go along with that, in 2004, my girlfriend moves in. My kids are here for Thanksgiving. We all go to bed. I close the door. We hear somebody walking up and down the hallway. Now, the next morning, I asked the kids. They heard it. Matter of fact, my daughter said it was so creepy, she got out of her bed and slept in her brother's room with him. And they slept with the light on all night. They heard it. And when my girlfriend left for work at Levin Furniture, it was a Saturday, I got up to brush my teeth and on my mirror. She uses a different bathroom. She uses the hallway bathroom. And I use the master bathroom. And on the hallway, there were two arms like this, six fingers, two arms. And when I measured it, it was 3 inches longer than my arm. So I'm 6 feet tall. If you measure it, 3, 6, 9, 12 puts it at over 7 feet, 7 feet tall. And I realized 6 years later, whatever put that on the mirror, and I have video of it and I have photographs of it, whatever put that, and when the arms were up, all you saw were the two bones. There was nothing in the middle, you know. And my girlfriend, when she came home, she took her makeup and dusted it so you could really see it. Six fingers, the bones longer than my arms from elbow to fingertip. And whatever did that was in the house pacing up and down the hallway. That's what I saw down the hallway 6 years, 5 years later in 2009, because that was over 7 feet tall with really long arms. So, I mean, it's strange as strange can be. So I don't know. I've moved away from the alien stuff to this is more interdimensional and spiritual or demonic. Is the way I look at it. So what is your opinions, these two ladies, on what I just told you?
Oh, I was going
to go hand in hand.
What was that?
I said, I think they go kind of go hand in hand. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Skinwalker Ranch. I don't know if you watch Skinwalker Ranch and some of the other ones that are out there, but where there's paranormal activity, there's also UFO activity that they're getting, or vice versa, right? So how do we not know an interdimensional being isn't what's creating what we're calling paranormal activity? And, you know, same with, you know, just because it was a former being, was it a former human, or is it still a current being that we don't know what it is?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Because I believe this is interdimensional. I personally don't believe there's life in space. I think it all is interdimensional. Right. But how do you view, I've read so many stories, and I have a good friend, Joe Jordan, who was a MUFON country director in South Korea. He just moved back to Florida. He wrote a book called Unholy Communion, where he was an atheist. But the more UFO investigations he did, he started coming across people who, you know, religious people that when they saw that gray alien in the corner at 2-3 in the morning, screamed, Jesus Christ, protect me, God, and started praying, and the thing backed away and disappeared. He came up with initially 150 cases.
Wow.
Where the person called upon Jesus or God or wherever they prayed to, and it backed away. I think he's up to 400 cases now. So what is your view of the, I view the abduction and the craft as two different things. With MUFON, we would investigate the craft and use websites and look for what was in the sky. But then there's a different group of people who investigate the alien abduction. I view those as two separate incidents. So what do you think of that gray or alien being that's not a shadow, but a creature that gets involved in the alien abduction? Do you think it's a demonic entity, or do you think it's an alien?
Uh-oh.
Or angelic, you know.
I think we kind of, I personally think it is definitely angelic, since you, the people would say, you know what, you know, they pray and say, God help me and whatever, and the thing backs away.
Well, here's a question. Here's a question.
If it was angelic, though.
Well, here's a question on that. So you're saying that, you know, people get startled and they, you know, they start, you know, Jesus, please save me and everything. Now, just from what I'm thinking, okay, so if you are startled, you jump up and you see something right there, is that just a reaction for a lot of people, you know, to be like, God, please save me from this thing? Like they're scared, so it's like, please save me from this. And whatever it is just hears us yelling or, you know, freaking out. It scares them, and that's why they disappear? Or do we think that, you know, it is something more on the demonic side, and then, you know, saying, you know, praying to God real quick scares it away?
Well, here, the research I've done, and Joe Jordan also and others, and we're a small minority in the in the UFO community, is like, when I was having activity, I didn't know what to do, but it kept coming, kept doing it. When it ramped up and I found out what to say, when I mentioned Jesus's name, it stopped. So there's something about that name, you know, where Joe Jordan's research too, where other people might tell it to go F itself or show yourself how smash you want, you know, it kept doing it. But in the instances where prayer came in or you called to God or Jesus, the thing backed away and left. So there's definitely something about that. Because, you know, in my opinion, Jesus was a real entity. He was God in a human form. And I don't believe that the demonic can deny his name. They have to respond to it, you know, at least everything that I've read, you know, in the exorcism demonic field. But you talk to the UFO people and they all say these are aliens. You know, and that's why I want to talk to the paranormal people and see, what's your opinion? If you were investigating, somebody called you and said, well, you know, I saw this like a gray alien, big head, big eyes, and it's there a couple of times a week at 3 a.m, 2 a.m, and it's there. I mean, do you view that as ghostly or alien?
Good question.
I would ask him which movies they watched for 4 days beforehand.
Before they went to bed. But you know, these things for people, it just, you know, it doesn't matter what you've watched, what you read, you're not hallucinating, because it goes on for long periods and it comes back, and sometimes it's intergenerational and stuff. Because my daughter and son have had similar experiences. But how do you view that?
I think we're so programmed that, you with that description, that we're programmed that's an alien, just like you're programmed that's a cat, that's a dog.
Yeah.
So it would be really hard to kind of specify, well, yeah, that's paranormal, yeah, that's an alien, because how do we really even know without seeing them what an alien is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ghosts, they're all beings to us. So, I mean, I would just consider it some type of being, whether it be paranormal or alien.
Alien, yeah.
Well, you know, the movies and the media have programmed us, like you said, to what an alien looks like. But in my research, I come across Aleister Crowley, who you all know, the self-proclaimed Antichrist, right? And in his Babylon calling, ritual, whatever it was, he conjures up a creature called Lamb. And it is like a gray alien with the big head, spindly body, but it had normal side eyes. It didn't have the big eyes, you know. But the first gray ever sketched, and he sketched it, was a gray from a demonic ritual. So
they've also programmed us to not. They've also programmed us to not believe in aliens or paranormal or ghosts, right? So when you view that, one might view it as an alien, while another might view it as a demon, while another might view it as paranormal, but none of us know what it truly is. They're trying, you know, they tried for so long to shut off UFO activity wasn't real, you know?
Mm-hmm. What, right? You're
crazy. No, same with the paranormal community, right? Like the psychiatric world. Oh, you're nuts. Let me give you some drugs. You're hallucinating. Let's put you in a facility. Right? Like, so it's the same thing. So do we know that that's an alien, or in your mind, it might be an alien, but in someone else's mind, it might be paranormal, just like a creeper on the wall, like we talked about earlier, right? Some people might view that as demonic while others view that as paranormal. So I think it's kind of how we perceive things, too, and kind of what you're familiar with.
You know, I start to think that the, you know, if you really look into the demonic, that there's a lot of trickery involved. So did they create the whole alien genre as a cover story? You know, like your best CIA writers who write a lot of this stuff. You know, I've looked into so many cases that, when you dug in, they fall apart as far as the UFO story goes. It's almost like somebody writing the script for this stuff, you know. But so, you know, is the gray alien a cover for a demon because the demons are really behind it? And I believe they're that smart. I've even gone as far as saying to people when they bring up the, well, there's cave drawings and petroglyphs and rock carvings of what would look like aliens and a craft in the sky. And I say, well, think my mind works different. I look out 5-6 steps. I say, do you think that Satan could have planted that in the cave thousands of years ago? Because he's that smart, second most powerful being in the universe. Could he have planted that knowing that there will be a time when humans have technology and will believe that that's a flying craft and will fall for this deception?
That and would be good for another story, buddy.
Yeah, right. That would be a great movie. Too, right. Nobody's ladies, mind works like mine when I look at these things, you know?
Ladies, what is your ultimate investigation that you would like to go to and why?
My house.
South Pittsburgh Hospital would be one, just because mm-hmm. we've heard such amazing things about it, and I want to see if it would really scare us out of there. There's another one. Alcatraz. Yes, my bucket list. I'd really love to go investigate that. We like our prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Heather?
So for me, I mean, your ones here in the U.S., those are bucket list locations, but those are places we can get to pretty easily, right? So, for me, Island of the Dolls.
No way. No way.
Where is that?
No way.
I'd like to take a little trip to Island of the Dolls, and then I'd like to hit some of the old castles in Ireland.
That would be real cool.
Where is Island of the Dolls? Where is that?
Isn't that in Japan?
It is. Maybe not.
Ghost Adventures was there.
Yeah,
I remember seeing something on it.
Everybody's nuts to go there.
Dolls are so creepy. To me, they're an imitation of life. Dolls are creepy. And my sister had a story back. I had this lucid dream, and it was demonic, but I'm not going to go into that. I tell my sister, and she's at the same night that happened, she had this doll that was about 3 feet tall. And she will not tell me what happened. I don't know if it turned its head, it talked, it walked. She told me in the morning, take that and throw it away. And I took it, I threw it like an Annabelle doll. I'm telling you, I took it. And even to this day, and she knows all the paranormal stuff that's happened to me, I ask her, what did the doll do? She goes, John, I do not want to discuss it. I don't want to think about it. It did something. And this was like her favorite doll. You know, she was like 10 years old, you know, and I was 16, which is exactly what the ages were. And it did something. And to me, dolls, you know, I never bought my kids dolls. I thought they were like too much of an imitation of life, you know?
So do you think that's why you still have paranormal activity?
Well, you know, I didn't go. This started to me at a very young age. And then there was a period where nothing happened during getting married and college and buying a house and kids. There was 15 years of nothing, you know. But for me, as a kid, it was always there, from something grabbing my feet to lucid dreams, you know, to an out-of-body experience. And then nothing from, 16 to 31 or so, there was nothing during those adult years of being married and having kids, you know. And then we moved to Oklahoma. We were supposed to move to Spain, and my wife wouldn't go, so they punished me and sent me to Oklahoma City, and something started over there, you know.
So what would you tell a beginner who wants to get in to ghost hunting? What would your suggestion be to them? Would you take them out on an investigation?
Find a team that you trust.
Right.
Okay.
And very important. You want to always know that your teammates got your back. They're not going to leave you. Something happens. Maybe they leave you.
Change. As soon as we get there, I'm gone. See ya.
Jason, do you have anything to say?
I wanted to ask him and Heather, do you do any residential houses, or do you just kind of do like historical places for your investigations?
So we do some residential. I have a couple friends, and those are actually two open cases still. That we've been to a couple of times. We've also been to some residential. We've kind of steered away from some of them due to some of the crazies and or nastiness that we encountered.
Yeah, if we know the person well enough, yeah, we'll do it if they want us to. You know.
Okay.
I kind of wouldn't really want to do that to somebody I know, because sometimes you can stir things up a little bit, make it worse, you know?
Yes, exactly. So, how many times have we gone to places, Jason, that we had to like clean it up a little bit?
Yeah.
So do you like the ghost TV shows?
Oh yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Right now, Destination Fear.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, we were watching that.
I kind of like them. I'm still a Ghost Adventures fan too.
Okay.
Gotta love them.
Portals to Hell.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's interesting.
See, I think on Portals to Hell, they need to show more of the actual investigating.
I agree.
It's like too much story. Like, yeah, like give us some story, but, you know, within that hour show or whatever, like do some investigating.
Right.
Not just like one room, run room. Yeah. Okay, 3 minutes passed. Oh, my God, this is what we got the whole night. Like, I want to see something.
That was Ozzy's son, right?
Yeah. What's that, Kim?
The history part of the Holter Files.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good.
There goes Katie making an appearance again.
I like Terror in the Woods and that Haunted Hospitals, but they kind of went off a year or two ago. I kind of prefer the story, the documentary and stuff more than really, I hate to say it, investigators doing all the talking, you know, is I like to see more of the documentation of and reenactment, I guess, of the story.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I like that too.
So what would you do if you were on a, you know, a hunt and it got out of hand? Like you see in some of these shows, they start getting scratched, pushed, you know. Let's say it got out of hand, what would you do?
That's where it comes back to trusting your team, right? So several of us on the team have been scratched, myself included. And as long as you have your team's back and truly know each other and how to handle them, I think you're okay. But again, you know, you see some of these things where you know, they feel like they're being possessed or their body's been taken over. We were just at Ohio State Reformatory in May. And there was one area and it was bizarre because it was cold, but at one point I was hot. And then another point I was so cold, I couldn't even, it was bizarre. And then I was sick. Like I just didn't feel right. But it wasn't anything that was like we couldn't handle. It was, all right, let's take a walk outside, get some fresh air, make sure everybody's feeling okay, and you go back to it, right? So that's knowing your team and knowing your friends or your teammates that you're working with and saying, okay, Heather's not right or Kim's not right. Like, we need to get them out of there and get the situation handled.
Right. We've only had one situation at the Bel Air house where we actually got out of Dodge early.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Please do tell.
It got a little too thick, a little bit too heavy, and we actually called it quits in the middle of the night. And okay, we still had about 12 hours left.
Oh, jeez. <geez. laughs>
So is there a local, let's say it followed one of yous home and started throwing dishes around, grabbed your ankles and drag you down the hallway like you see in movies. What is plan B? Is there a local exorcist? Somebody, what would you do in the worst case scenario? Who would you call? Is there someone that you could recommend when it gets real demonic and beyond your abilities?
Hell yeah. Pittsburgh paranormal, like it's
but I'm saying that let's say it's beyond what you guys have dealt with. Is there and you feel you need a priest or an exorcist at this point to exorcise the property or whatever? Is there somebody that you have on your list that you would call?
We do have friends. I have a friend actually that is a priest, so I would start with him. But we have friends outside of the state also that are pretty close with some priests. So, if I needed to, I would absolutely call a priest.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever encountered a situation where, you have a priest come in, bless the house, everything of that nature, and take notice that for a while things may calm down and then a few weeks later it just really, really ramps up? If you had any issues like that?
I've never had my house blessed or anything, but we just did some remodeling here.
There
my
you
house
go.
Is 100 years old, so we took out some walls, widened some ways, did some things.
You might be investigating your house.
My husband already said to the girls, like, hey, I think I want you guys to come over and find out what's on my porch, because, you know, I'm not a huge orb believer, but and neither is Kim, but when I send these videos and I tell you, like, you literally can see right through it. It's not a bug, it's not moving. It is moving. It's not your typical orb.
Right.
So it's very different what's happening on my porch, and you could see it actually comes through like my living room wall and out onto my porch and then comes back into the house as he pleases. And I say he because I think it's either my father-in-law or the previous owner of this house. We're just not sure which one right now. However, so I've never had the house blessed, but I do have sage here, and I'm going to have someone else cleanse the house and us as well. So,
we're getting close. We're getting close to the end of the show. Any last words?
Nice knowing you, Sean.
Nice knowing you too.
Okay, well, thank you for having us on, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. How can anybody get a hold of you on Facebook, websites, if they want to check you out or contact you? Do you want to share your contact info?
Sure. So Facebook, you can check us out on Facebook, Steel City Ghost Hunters. We do have a website, steelcityghosthunters.com. That's not really up to date. We don't really use the website very much anymore. We are on Instagram as well. And then YouTube, all under Steel City Ghost Hunters.
Sweet. Melissa just said, great show, everyone.
Thank you, Melissa.
We got to get her on. I swear. I asked her twice and she said no. So, but we'll let her. But again, everybody, thank you for tuning in. John, thanks for filling in.
And your guy Travis Taylor from the Skinwalker Ranch, Dr. Travis Taylor.
Yeah.
He's going to be speaking at our UFO conference. Well, it's going to be the Philly conference, but I'll get him to the Pittsburgh one here too. And he is actually working with the Pentagon now on the UAP team, like Project Blue Book. So that'd be interesting. We'll get him at both conferences.
I'd love to see him. I follow him on social media and stuff too. I that's one of my favorite shows. So
you just like his Texas accent.
I do like
that. Well, everybody, thank you for our listeners. Thank you for watching
thank
the
you
show,
for
listening to the show.
Tuning in to Torture Tuesday with Chasing Prophecy.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, good night, everybody. Thank you, Steel City Ghost Hunters.
Thanks, guys.